Especially during a boom period when economic growth is doing well, when real estate and equity markets are booming, when consumer confidence is high, everyone convinces themselves, not just the policymakers, but everyone convinces themselves that this can go on. It can go on forever, that somehow the old rules don't apply. So if your debt to income ratio keeps going up, you don't worry about it. Those rules apply to someone else or at another time. In the US, we heard about how the securitization of mortgages helped financial institutions unbundle risks, and we were living in what was often referred to as the Great Moderation. The business cycle had been tamed. We had those kinds of explanations for why things were different now.
Is that something that you find to be true for developing countries?
Absolutely. One can find examples all over emerging markets. Right now, for example, there are lots of question marks about China. China's real estate prices increased by orders of magnitude that outpaced real estate price increases in either the US or Europe. Domestic credit to GDP in China has risen more than in any other emerging market in the last 6 years. And yet, whenever one raises issues of possible vulnerability to a banking crisis or to a domestic financial crisis, always you get an explanation of why it's different this time. And so it's a universal phenomenon, knowing no boundaries.
The general consensus is that freer capital mobility actually brings growth. However, in the course of your research, I see that you have found a correlation between freer banking capital and the incidence of banking crisis.
Right.
So why is it so?
Financial liberalization indeed helps predict banking crises and currency crises. Why? Well, financial liberalization is typically associated with easier access to credit. Financial liberalization also enables financial firms to take on more risk. And the combination of increased credit availability, more risk taking, especially in an environment where supervision is lax, is a recipe for making bad loans.
Explanation of crisis, you know, tend to dwell a lot on roots and causes, but your essay actually introduced the notion of amplifiers, and you've gone on great lengths to describe what they are and what their effect were on the crisis.
Amplifiers are things that don't really create the cycle. They don't set it off. But what the amplifiers do is spread the gasoline around, so when the fire erupts, it's a bigger fire. And examples of amplifiers: if you have more credit availability and you have more risk taking by financial institutions, you certainly need better supervisions. You need to have more careful thought of regulation. And oftentimes, either the supervision is inadequate or non-existent, or the regulations themselves are pro-cyclical. So take financial regulations that involve credit ratings, sovereign credit ratings. Well, during the boom years, everybody gets upgraded, okay? And so, in effect, the fact that you got upgraded gives you even more access to credit. So the amplifiers are those kinds of institutional arrangements or practices that can make, as the term amplifiers suggests, the boom boomier and the bust bustier.
There's something that really struck me in your essays, that you were arguing that if a banking crisis is badly managed, it often ends up in a sovereign default. Now, we've seen that in Europe. We've seen the possibility of that happening. So tell me, is the US next?
I wouldn't say it's next, but the direction is certainly worrisome. There's nothing mechanical about why a financial crisis often ends up being a fiscal crisis. During a financial crisis, you typically have an implosion in economic activity, which also means that your revenues collapse. That, all other things considered, makes the fiscal situation worse. On top of that, the government also often winds up taking on private debts, as was the case in Ireland. Also here in the United States, the government assumed in its balance sheet Fannie and Freddie, the mortgage giants. So for those reasons, among others, the fiscal situation can deteriorate quite markedly. But I don't think in the case of the US, we're at that terminal stage yet.